It's officially DC festival season, and we're super excited about this one coming up on May 18th. Africa on the Avenue is a celebration of the vibrant African immigrant community along Georgia Avenue Northwest. There's going to be interactive art installations, fashion shows, music, food, and local business stands. This one-day festival, organized by District Bridges' Lower Georgia Avenue Main Street program, truly has something for everyone. So I'll see you there on May 18th. Go to districtbridges.org to learn more. Today on CityCast DC, it's allergy season here, and it may seem a little bit early, but this year, thanks to unusually warm weather, the pollen counts are already at near record highs in DC. I have tried everything to deal with my own allergies. Dr. Rachel Schreiber, who heads up the Schreiber Allergy Practice, joins us to share what you need to know about surviving allergy season in DC. Today's Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Bridget Todd, and here's what DC is talking about. Dr. Schreiber, thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I'm sniffling, my eyes are burning, my throat is scratchy, I hate everything, which means that we're getting into allergy season in DC. How bad are folks' allergies here?
Well, to be honest, Bridget, they are pretty bad. So Washington is sort of built around Rock Creek Forest. And Rock Creek Forest is a forest of deciduous trees. Deciduous trees are trees that have leaves and they pollinate through the wind. So there's two types of pollination. There's wind-borne pollination, and then there's insect-borne pollination. So think about how an insect pollinates, right? You have a bee or you have a butterfly, and it picks up pollen very nicely from one flower, and it delivers it very neatly and nicely to another flower. And that's how insects pollinate flowers. But trees that pollinate through the wind, or grasses that pollinate through the wind, or weeds, it's just a mess out there, right? So the wind is picking up that pollen and just spewing it wherever it chooses, all over the place. And that's why there is so much pollen just in the air, willy-nilly. You walk outside and you're sort of assaulted by pollen during that high tree pollen season. We are entering it right now.
So basically, when you go outside and there's pollen all over your car, there's pollen all over the ground, like that's kind of what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, it's been a really interesting year. I follow the pollen counts almost every day. I love looking at pollen counts. I guess that's a little nerdy, but it is what I do. So I love it. I've seen throughout the entire year that we've continued to have pollen, even when there's snow on the ground, we've had tree pollen. So I used to say to my patients, well, you know, during the cold of the winter, when there's snow and ice on the ground, you'll get a little respite. I do think patients do get some respite in the winter, but when you're still seeing low levels of tree pollen in the air, even during those cold winter months, we're really not seeing any break. The pollen counts are never zero. There's always something in the air. And then in the spring, it just gets much more significant. Those numbers really, really rise.
So basically, the worst of both worlds. It's cold, maybe it's snowy and wet, and also allergies and pollen.
So that is true, but I would say the levels are low, right? So what that means is they're not absent. They're still there, but it's not like the middle of spring. It's not like April or May. But the thing about the winter is that you have other things to think about. You think about more indoor allergens also, like dust mites or molds and your pets. Some of these things we're always exposed to year round. And then in certain times of year, the pollens come out and just sort of, to be honest, add insult to injury. So if you have a dust mite allergy, which is a year round allergen, and then spring rolls around, now you've got tree pollen allergy, everything can sort of build on itself to create more symptoms. Like this is not like a life threatening situation in general, right? But it's very uncomfortable and it can make it hard to work when you feel sick and you don't feel good. And so it is actually a very big issue in terms of quality of life. And we worry about patients when, let's say you have upper airway symptoms. So that's like stuffy nose, runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, sneezing, and that's very uncomfortable. But when it can be worse and more concerning in terms of a patient's health is when it goes into the lower airways, and that's asthma. And so we really need to control that. I mean, you know, if you want to walk around with itchy eyes, okay, so be it. You can't really walk around with what we call bronchoconstriction or, you know, lower airways inflammation with asthma. That's an unsafe situation. So sometimes the upper airways can contribute to asthma, and that really does need to be controlled.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that. I mean, I have asthma myself, and so I'm on like a pretty regular cocktail of drugs to manage it.
Yeah.
So that when allergy season comes around, I'm able to just experience it as a mild annoyance as opposed to something that is genuinely life-threatening.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we even still worry about mild asthmatics, to tell you the truth. So mild asthmatics can still have a severe exacerbation. So we're pretty serious about treating our asthmatic patients because we don't want that to become anything more severe. And when you have pollen allergy, what happens is you are sort of, your system is primed going from year to year. So like, let's say year one, you start to have symptoms. Year two, your symptoms may be more severe because you've seen that allergen already last year. And now this year, your body is primed to see it again, and it will react more quickly and sometimes more severely.
Everybody knows that getting that perfect Mother's Day gift is basically impossible, but we promise Mom will love this one. The Capitol Hill Restoration Society House and Garden Tour is back this Mother's Day weekend on May 11th and May 12th. Tour 9 elaborate homes and gardens and 3 historic buildings on Capitol Hill that you can't normally enter. And if you can't make it, check out the Capitol Hill Restoration Society's other events like walking tours and monthly preservation cafes. You can buy tickets for the Mother's Day House and Garden Tour on Eventbrite, and be sure to follow CHRS on Facebook and Instagram at Capitol Hill Restoration DC. Hey, DC. One of the reasons hosting this show is so important to me is this statistic from the U.S. Surgeon General. Ready for it? The percentage of Americans who report feeling very attached to their community is only 16%. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at that number, which, by the way, is pre-pandemic data. But here's how I'm thinking about it. CityCast DC is something that we're building to make it easier for you to feel attached to this community. I don't want anyone to feel lonely or bored here in DC. I want you to know how you can help make this city more fun and more livable, and where all the good local stuff is at. And if you think we're doing a good job, I'm asking if you'll become a member of CityCast DC today at membership.citycast.fm. You'll get exclusive perks like ad-free listening, event invites, and members-only guides. But most of all, you'll be part of a project dedicated to making the number of DC residents who feel attached to this community a heck of a lot higher than 16%. See you over at membership.citycast.fm, and thank you. So if you're somebody for whom allergies is sort of a low-level annoyance or concern, are there some environmental changes that you can make to deal with it this time of year?
Sure, and we definitely recommend that. So that would be things like if you are walking outside during the day, when you come back inside, change your clothes, take a shower, get the pollen off of you before you go to sleep at night, right? Let's say you're walking outside and the pollen's landing on your hair. You don't want to go to sleep with the pollen in your hair and you're lying on your pillow and you're breathing that in all night long. So you want to manage that as best as you can by taking a shower at night. And anything you can do to make a physical barrier between you and the outside world can be helpful. So that's like wearing a baseball cap, wearing big sunglasses, even wearing a face mask, which is prior to COVID, no one wore face masks in the spring, but now it can be more commonplace. So all these things can make a barrier between you and the outside world.
Oh my God. I have to tell you, I do that. When I go out in the high pollen days, I look like, yeah, I'm about to like do a bank job. I'm wearing a big hat, sunglasses, a mask.
Yes, I can imagine.
A lot of stuff on my face.
Exactly. But you're going to feel better. So it's worth it. If you have a pet, if you have a dog, let's say you're not allergic to your dog, but you walk your dog in the spring, make sure when you bring your dog back in your home that you wipe the dog down, you wipe his paws down and his fur down so that you're not tracking the pollen back into your house. And also, perhaps this is not as environmentally friendly, but you need to run your air conditioning. Pollen sufferers need to run their air conditioning because you won't get away from the pollen if your windows are open.
Oh, so I would have thought that keeping your windows open would be helpful for allergies, but that's not correct.
You are correct. And the reason is, if your windows are open, the pollen's just flying in your house. So now you really get no respite, right? Your windows are open, the pollen's flying in. You've got pollen outside, you've got pollen inside. So you want to keep your windows closed, run your AC, maybe put a HEPA filter in your bedroom to make your, at least your bedroom, a little more allergen free.
Oh, I keep a HEPA filter going 24/7 in my bedroom.
That's excellent. And then, you know, there's medications that people can take. So many of our allergy medications have gone over the counter. It's like they're all over the counter. So like we'll talk about some of them. For example, antihistamines, oral antihistamines. These are like Claritin, Zyrtec, Allegra, Zizol. They're all OTC. And then there's steroid nasal sprays like Nasacort, Rhinocort, Flonase. And then there are antihistamine nasal sprays. I mean, the list goes on, right? Like Astepro. And then there's eye drops like Pataday and Zatator. So there's lots and lots of things that are available over the counter. And because there are so many different things, I would say to you, talk to your doctor about what is really the best thing to take and what are the risks and benefits of all these medications. I don't want a situation where you're taking too many meds, right? Like, polypharmacy can be a problem. So even though the meds are over the counter, I would always take those meds if you're suffering under the guidance of a physician.
Yeah. So I, a couple months ago, got the, I don't know what it's called, but the procedure where they like inflate a balloon in your nose.
Okay.
And when I went, the reason I was going is because like part of my allergies is that I generally like cannot breathe through my nose. And
yeah.
When I got there, they asked like, what are you doing to manage your symptoms? And I said, I take Zyrtec D, like the kind that you got to like show your ID at the counter for multiple times a day, every day, and I have for years. And they were like, well, that's not great. Like, you really shouldn't be taking this level of antihistamine every day, multiple times a day. And I've been doing it for years.
Well, to be honest, Bridget, it's less the antihistamine and more the decongestant that worries us. When you say Zyrtec D, the D is decongestant. That's like Sudafed, and that can raise your blood pressure. It can raise your heart rate. So we really don't recommend decongestants on a daily basis. That's more of like an as needed type thing if you really need it. But I always tell people, like, we try to stay away from the decongestants.
Is there anything else that you shouldn't do if you're suffering with allergies, you're desperate, you just want to breathe and feel better? What else? What should you not do?
Don't go hiking on a really pollinated day. Maybe that. Although that is the thing, Bridget. It's like we want our patients to be outside and doing everything they want to do. So really, if your allergies are so bad that you're suffering and you can't do what you want to do, I'd say it's time to see your allergist because we can help you. We have kids, adults, whoever it is. They're playing sports outside. It's like if you're playing sports and your eyes are itchy and watery and runny and your nose is runny and you're sneezing, that's like you're not performing to your peak potential, right? So we can help you. And so that's, I think, when you want to seek help. Like if you're having some mild symptoms and you take, let's say, Claritin and you're better, fine. That's great. So happy. But like, you know, there is this portion of the population where medications just aren't enough. And then for those patients, we think about desensitization. And so that's like allergy shots. And so in our practice, we actually offer allergy shots, which is subcutaneous immunotherapy. And we offer drops that we put under the tongue. And that's called sublingual immunotherapy. And that can be done at home. And it's a daily therapy to help desensitize you to the allergens. It is safer. But it's not generally covered by insurance. So that's an issue with the sublingual immunotherapy. And when patients are on sublingual immunotherapy, we still give them EpiPens to have at home in case something happens in terms of a severe allergic reaction, but is much more rare.
I'm sure people listening are thinking like shots sounds pretty extreme. How bad do your allergies have to be to consider something like shots?
Great question. So I always tell my patients, shots are indicated if you can't take meds, if you don't want to take meds, or if the meds don't work. So if you have bad spring pollen allergy or bad other kind of allergy, let's say you have a dog and you're allergic to your dog, we can put you on immunotherapy, which is allergy shots, and that desensitizes you to the allergen. And so if you're on multiple medications and you're still struggling, you're a candidate for allergy shots. That being said, allergy shots is a commitment. So it's really a process of desensitization. We give you tiny amounts of the allergen over time, so your body sees these tiny allergens, tiny amounts of allergen, and it desensitizes and you become tolerant to it and you become less reactive. But there's a risk of shots, and the risk is anaphylaxis. And that's why we always have a discussion with our patients, like, is the benefit outweighing the risk for this particular patient?
That's really interesting. I guess another question I have is, I'm a little bit of a woo-woo person, and my mom is a medical doctor, so I'll always be like, oh, I tried this, like, woo-woo thing. It didn't work. She was like, oh, have you tried medical science? But what are your thoughts on things like a neti pot or a sinus rinse or a buckwheat pillow, things that are not necessarily medication, but people have suggested they might help? Is there any truth to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we do like neti pots. We really do. I will just say right now, I do not know about the buckwheat pillow. What is that supposed to do for you?
Okay. So I'm almost embarrassed to say. So I sleep on a buckwheat pillow. It's a very heavy, lumpy pillow, and it's supposedly it is better for allergies. It's like hypoallergenic. I cannot tell you if it works or not. So if somebody listening is like, they are bunk, they don't work, that could be very well true. But I read it in a moment of desperation when I could not sleep because I was so stuffed up, and I bought one.
Well, that's what happens. You know, you get desperate and you do things. But, you know, maybe a buckwheat pillow doesn't have as many dust mites. Maybe that's where it comes into play. I love neti pot. I think it's a great idea. So a neti pot is a sinus rinse. And the idea is that you sort of can irrigate the sinuses a little bit. But here's the thing with a neti pot. You have to use distilled water or boiled and cooled water. And that's because you don't want like weird tiny little amoebas getting in your brain. Okay, we definitely don't want that. So sinus rinse, I think, can be a good adjunct. One thing that a lot of patients ask me about is local honey. So have you heard of that, that people take local honey for their allergies?
I have heard of that. Yeah. I'm always looking for honey that was made in like nearby Maryland or something.
Right, that's right. So some people have asked me, well, can I take local honey to desensitize to the allergens? And here's the answer to that. It may be delicious, but I'm not sure it's actually going to work. And that's because honey's made from bees. Bees are insects and they pollinate those flowers, right? They're not pollinating the stuff that's the windborne pollination, right? So you're not really getting in the honey the pollens that most people are reacting to in the spring.
I'm so glad you said this because somebody in my life has recommended local honey to me and is always like, oh, you should look for where the honey is from. And now I can send them this episode.
Yes. And listen, I love honey. I really do. And here's the other thing that I always tell people. I am for anything that helps you and doesn't hurt you. So if your body can tolerate honey, if you don't have any medical conditions that would preclude that, if you ate a little honey and it helped you, I'm fine with that. As long as you don't have any side effects from that.
That's a good way to put it. Like, do what you think will help you if you can handle it. Talk to your doctor and really come up with a plan that'll help you live a less miserable life this allergy season.
Yes, living a less miserable life is a total bonus.
Dr. Schreiber, thank you so much for being here. I feel like I learned so much.
I'm so glad. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's all for today here on CityCast DC. If you enjoyed the show, share it with your sniffliest friend. We'll be back tomorrow morning with even more news from around the city. Talk to you then.